This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday evening. Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, tied at 2, Pacers and Thunder. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. We've got a College World Series game to keep tabs on as LSU takes on UCLA. We had a no-hitter earlier today, Matt. 19 strikeouts for Gage Woods as Arkansas keeps their hopes alive and they eliminate Tim Murray State, unfortunately. The Racers racing no more, as that was a quite the performance we saw on the hill in Omaha earlier today.
Arkansas needed that pitching performance in the first round against LSU. That's why the Razorbacks are in the loser's bracket, and they got a shot to get out of it, though, and get redemption. Tim, not doing a lot of betting on the College World Series. I bet 2 games. I'm 1-1, and that's a better record than what I had in the golf tournament.
We will get to the U.S. Open, certainly, as the show goes on. I will pass this across to the people listening. Do with it what you will. Jimmy Ott, our good friend, was on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line yesterday and had a couple of bets come home, as he had the under yesterday in the Oregon State Coastal Carolina game. Also had the chance as they won that game 6-2. He likes the under here tonight with LSU and UCLA. 9.5 even money to the under here at Circa. So passing that across, do with that what you will. Matt, we've got a big one tonight. Before we get to it, we also have 2 massive returns. Giancarlo Stanton making his season debut for the New York Yankees, and Shohei Ohtani making his pitching debut this season for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think it's the first time Ohtani has pitched in 664 days since he had Tommy John surgery, essentially in September of 2023. And what are we going to see from Ohtani tonight? 1 inning, maybe 2.
Yeah.
He's going to be basically an opener. The price is about where it should be. Dodgers minus 150 because Dylan Cease against a Dodgers, let's say, patchwork pitching staff tonight. You would not want to make the Dodgers too big of favorites because I know there's a lot of hype around Ohtani making his return to the pitcher's mound. But, Tim, he's going to be out there and he's going to be gone before you blink. Right? It's not going to last long tonight. At the most, he's going to go 2 innings. So you can't make the Dodgers too big of favorites. And Dodgers coming off a big weekend series against the Giants. And they're hoping to wrap up Ohtani here to where I think we'll get longer starts out of him by the middle of July after the All-Star break.
Shohei Ohtani, if you're wondering, over under 1.5 strikeouts, juice to the under, minus 145 at DraftKings, plus 115 to the over.
That's a tough call because he might pitch only 1 inning.
Right. Is he going to strike out 2 Padres in that opening inning?
I'd probably take the under. But I wouldn't take the under with a lot of conviction, right? Because if he goes 2 innings, he's probably going to go over 1.5. You just don't know if he's going 1 or 2. And a lot of that is going to depend on his pitch count, where he is after 1 inning. That's something that's very tough to predict tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, it would be a pretty clear stay away for me. But should be a fun night of baseball, including Omaha. The action continues out there. And there were some familiar faces at Rocco's earlier today, as our crew, unfortunately, was not there to see Paul Skeens and his lovely girlfriend, Livy Dunn. They were there at Rocco's. I think that's the location of where our set was. So they've replaced our set, Matt Eumanns, with Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn.
What have you done for me lately, right? V sends out Paul Skeens, Livy Dunn in, and oh, too bad. Just missed him by a couple of days.
I was texting with Wilbo. He said that Livy Dunn was, I believe, at the hotel they were staying at. So there were some Livy Dunn sightings there for right. VSiN folks. So do with that what you will. So we'll keep our eyes on that UCLA and LSU. But Matt, let's get to our main event, which, of course, is Pacers and Thunder Game 5 tonight.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Here we go, Matt Eumanns. You know, everyone was upset over the weekend that we did not have an NBA Finals game. I was just fine with it. Why? because we have a show tonight and we get to watch this thing and live bet it on air with all of you folks. So I am very happy with the NBA scheduling Friday to Monday. The Indiana Pacers catching 9, 9.5. If you like the dog, 9.5 here at Circa. If you like the favorite, plenty of nines to be had out there. Total, we'll call it 223.5. That's the number here at Circa. There are some 224s if you do like the under, Matt, out there in this one. I'm going to show you a graphic here in just a moment, how the Pacers have responded off of losses so far this postseason, Matt. But early thoughts on this, anything in pocket for you with the Pacers catching 9, 9.5 against
Oklahoma
City?
I did take 9.5. I took the Pacers in the points tonight, and I'm going to shoot for a middle here because I really believe the home team's going to win each game the rest of the way. OKC tonight in 5, Indianapolis in 6, Indiana Pacers in 6 back home. And then OKC wins the series in 7. That's how I think it's going to play out. I'm going to bet it accordingly. I like the Pacers. If they fall tonight, I'm going to bet the Pacers in game 6. I can almost guarantee it. But you got a big window to work with tonight. So what I'm going to try to do here, take Pacers plus 9.5. And also I want to live bet OKC on the money line at a cheaper price than it currently is. Look, nobody wants to lay minus 400 on a game. It's actually a bargain price based on what the first two games in OKC were. The money line, the first two games up around minus 550, 600 for OKC in the first two home games tonight, minus 400 right now at Circa. So that's a cheaper price. But Tim, I'd like to chop that in half, you know, at least in half, if not a little bit more, and play OKC somewhere in the minus 150 to 200 range on the money line. And then you got the Pacers plus 9.5, and you got a pretty big middle to shoot for. And the reason I say I'm going to shoot for that middle is I really believe OKC is going to win the game tonight. Really do. But I think what this series has proven is these teams are pretty evenly matched. And there is the point spread's been inflated throughout the series. And OKC, I think that it's been obvious betting markets overrated the Thunder. Hey, look, when these teams played the first two games in Oklahoma City, the point spreads were 10.5 and 11.5.
Yep.
It's dropped down to 9.5 for a reason. This series is tighter than most people thought it was going to be at the beginning. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers, while blowing it in the fourth quarter on Friday night, come out with a pretty strong effort tonight. I expect the Pacers to hang in there. We're going to have a tight game in the fourth quarter and a pretty good shot to hit this middle if you got OKC money line, Pacers plus 9.5.
Zigzag has been very profitable throughout the postseason. And how about the Pacers coming off a loss? You know, we talked about it on Friday heading into that game 4 in Indianapolis, how Oklahoma City had fared coming off of losses. They were perfect in the first half against the spread. Did not cover on Friday. Magically, though, Matt, they did get the cover.
That was
full game on Friday. Absolutely brutal beat if you did take the points with the Indiana Pacers. But I want to show you this, Matt, because it's a small sample size, but the Indiana Pacers this postseason, off of losses, are not only 5-0 straight up, they're 5-0 against the spread. So if you go back to the first round series against the Milwaukee Bucks, game 4 coming off of the game 3 loss. They were catching 4 on the road at Milwaukee. They won by 26. Game 4 against Cleveland. Cleveland took game 3 in Indianapolis. The Pacers catching 5 in game 4, won by 20. To the Knicks series, Eastern Conference Finals, Matt. They lose game 3 at home to the Knicks. They're laying 3 in game 4. They win by 9. They lose game 5 at the Garden. Game 6, they're laying 4. They win by 17. And then this series, they lose game 2 to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They get blown out down there in OKC by 16. They come back home. They're catching 5.5, and they win by 9. So what's interesting, once again, small sample size, Matt, but how this team has been able to respond. 3 of those 5 games, they were an underdog, and they won the game outright. So this team has not lost back-to-back games going all the way back to March 10th. They've won 9 straight games coming off of a loss to wrap up the regular season. And now here in the postseason, 5-0 straight up and 5-0 ATS coming off of a loss.
Yeah, 4 of those 5 games on that graphic we're showing you, 4 of those 5 were at home. But again, Pacers have proven throughout the playoffs they can win big road games. They've done it against Milwaukee, against Cleveland, against New York, against Oklahoma City. So it's not like the Pacers are going to go on the road and shake in fear that we can't win an OKC. I really like two angles here. One is the Pacers blew it in the fourth quarter on Friday night. So that gives them a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're going to play with a little bit more of an edge, come back tonight, make amends for really, I think, in a lot of people's minds, blowing the series, Tim. If the Pacers go up 3-1, They're probably going to win the NBA championship. Instead, they let it get away. It's 2-2. OKC, the clear favorite now to win the title. Pacers let that one get away Friday night. So you're betting on the team that blew it on Friday night. And also, in these NBA playoffs, teams off a straight-up loss are 44-22 ATS the next time out.
And the zigzag has been very profitable this postseason.
It has been. And Pacers catching a lot of points here, I think, should be a profitable angle as well. Again, but I think that we're going to have a tight game in the fourth quarter tonight.
So I did play one prop. I have not played the side. I'm going to be with you. We're going to be on the air when this game tips off. We'll be on the air probably the entirety of this game, Matt. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for us to look at it from an in-game standpoint. So I'm holding off betting a side or total until in-game. But I did bet under 8.5 assists for Tyrese Haliburton. He has gone over that number just once so far these NBA finals. That was the game that you and I liked the situation there. He went over his point prop in game three, over his assist prop in game three. But Matt, you look at the other three games, 6, 6, and 7. Now, pretty close to the number, but ultimately, as Circa still has 8.5, DraftKings did drop to 7.5. So always look around. I paid a little extra juice. Circa's at -145 to the under. DraftKings is +114 under 7.5. So I paid the extra premium to get the under 8.5, Matt. But I just look at the way they've been guarding Tyrese Haliburton all throughout this series. He's really had a hard time facilitating. I wouldn't be surprised if he went over his point prop tonight. So that's why I didn't do points and assists, but I went under 8.5 assists. That is my one pregame bet on this one here tonight. Matt's taking the points. I'm going under Haliburton assists. Plenty of in-game opportunities throughout the game. Underway in Omaha, LSU and UCLA. We'll keep you updated on that one. All the Major League Baseball. And we've got plenty of sound from the Pacers as they look ahead and try to get back in the win column.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Busy night ahead as we have Game 5 of the NBA Finals this evening. Right now, looking across the market, Oklahoma City, a 9.5-point favorite at Circa and DraftKings, 9 at a handful of other shops. So depending on what you're looking to do, Matt taking the points with Indiana at 9.5. Total sits at 223.5, 224. Matt, earlier today, we saw a no-hitter in Omaha. We will not get that, at least from Anthony Ianson, the starter for the LSU Tigers, as already UCLA on the board. And Matt, this game closed, let me double check just what the price was. UCLA closed a -$3 favorite.
LSU did.
Or excuse me, LSU, I beg your pardon. Down to -145 in the top of the first.
Well, it's -145 right now, but here's the problem. UCLA's got runners on second and third and one out and already up 1-0. You could say, well, the price has been chopped in half here, you know, with a 1-0 deficit. It might be time to buy in on LSU. Tim, I think you got to wait. You got to wait here because a single and you played two more runs and you're down 3-0. You could probably at that point buy LSU at what, +150 if they fall behind 3-0, you think?
Yeah, so one out in the top of the first, Anthony Ianson on the hill for LSU and the Tigers who rolled over Arkansas in the first game of bracket two in trouble here in the top of the first inning as UCLA has already plated one run. And as Matt mentioned, men on second and third right now after an RBI double.
UCLA, Tim, I do a lot of research on college baseball. I can tell you UCLA is 27-1 this season when scoring first.
Oh, man, that's a good nugget. You had that right off the top of your head.
Might have seen it on TV.
We also have, of course, Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. A lot of different ways to look at this one. We're going to talk to Nick Whalen, our own Nick Whalen, who one of the hosts of Prop Points here on the network. He's going to jump on in about 30 minutes. He's going to give us his favorite angles for tonight's Game 5. We'll also check in from behind the counter, talk to our good friend Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook. We bumped him up a day so we get his thoughts on what to expect tonight, what action they are seeing, and what does he like? He has been a big backer of the Oklahoma City Thunder all throughout the season and throughout these postseason as well. Oklahoma City has been great so far at home this postseason, Matt. As we know, they did ultimately get that fortunate cover in game four in Indianapolis. They're 1-8 now on the road ATS, but 8-3 ATS there at home as UCLA going to plate another run here. And let's see if they have, looks like we have yet to get the updated line, but I imagine, Matt, they're going to jump to a favorite here in just a moment. What a start for UCLA.
Let's pick them now, but UCLA 2-0, runners on the corners, one out. That was kind of an infield, I guess we call it an infield hit. The second baseman dove deep into the outfield grass to pick that up. He had no play, so 2-0 Bruins over the Tigers, and -115 both ways at DraftKings.
And that total, as we speak, is now moved up to 12.5. So one that was a bet that Jimmy Ott, our good friend, liked. He's has been pretty solid so far on totals here in the College World Series. Well, right now you can get under 12.5 if you'd like, but LSU trying to get out of a big inning here, potentially here for UCLA.
Jimmy Ott from ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, and I believe, is he in Omaha?
I don't think he's there this year.
He makes the trip almost every year. He's pretty good with his college baseball bets, especially when LSU is in the World Series. But the Tigers are down 2-0 right now. Bruins at the plate in the top of the first.
Yep. So we will keep our eyes peeled on this. What will be interesting, if LSU were to lose this game, obviously, long ways to go. It's the top of the first inning. They haven't even had an at-bat yet. But if they were to lose this game, Matt, that would set up a winner-go-home situation against Arkansas, which would be quite the clash, as we saw it just two nights ago there in Omaha, Saturday night, with an LSU victory. Arkansas, of course, winning earlier today, 3-0. Gage Woods, the first no-hitter at the College World Series since 1960. And after the game, Matt.
And the most impressive part, he had 19 strikeouts.
And he would have had a perfect game if he didn't hit a batter in the eighth inning. And when he was interviewed after the game, he said, I wish I shouldn't have hit that batter. So that was the first thing that he thought of. All right, back to what we got here tonight in Oklahoma City. Matt is going to take the points with the Indiana Pacers. We're both going to look for some live in-game angles. I took under on Tyrese Halliburton's assist prop. And let's hear from Tyrese Halliburton and how they are looking ahead to Game 5 after squandering a double-digit lead late on Friday night.
You know, I think as a team, you just got to be ready to respond. You know, every game is different. You know, you just got to be able to respond when your back's against the wall. And that's here we are. That's where we are right now. You know, so obviously it's a frustrating loss, but as a group, you know, I still have a lot of confidence in ourselves as a group. You know, we got to be ready to go down there and, you know, and fight for 48 minutes. You know, it's going to be a challenge, but, you know, this group has been resilient all year, and I wouldn't want to go to war with any other group. So I'm really excited about Game 5.
The Thunder did what the Pacers do to their opponents. Come back when it looks like there's no chance for a comeback. I don't know what you were thinking on Friday night, Matt, as you were watching it here in studio. But as I was watching that game unfold, as we headed into the third quarter, or as that third quarter went on, I really didn't see much hope for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they just clamped down defensively. And, you know, I thought the Pacers offense went a bit stagnant.
It went more than a bit stagnant. It was 31-17 in the fourth quarter. It's kind of a reversal, Tim, almost an exact reversal of what happened in Game 3 in Indianapolis when the Pacers outscored the Thunder 32-18 in the fourth, and the OKC offense went stagnant. So that's what happened with the Pacers in the fourth, and they let it get away. They blew it. They really blew the game. Tyrese Halliburton, you and I talked about it after game two. We were predicting he was going to come back and have a big game in game three, and he did. You hit that winner on the points. It was points assist.
Points
prop.
And assists, yep.
Points
both,
assist prop.
Both the points and assists went
barely
over.
Barely put up a triple-double. Well, Halliburton typically rotates back and forth. He'll go big game, ghost, big game, ghost. Well, I'm not going to say he ghosted game four. But Timmy had 18.7 assists. The problem is he had 5 turnovers and he shot 1-for-7 from three. And when your point guard shoots 1-for-7 from three and turns it over 5 times, you're going to have some issues. And the Pacers did, especially in the fourth quarter of that game when they scored only 17 points. Pacers had a 10-point lead and you felt like, hey, they're this close to winning the championship, right? If they can close this out, go up 3-1, they're probably going to be NBA champs. And they blew it in the fourth quarter, and Tyrese Haliburton did not close the deal. You think Halliburton's probably going to come back tonight and be a little bit more aggressive, or a lot more aggressive, but you definitely got to shoot better than 1-for-7 from three. Miles Turner, 0-for-6 from three.
He was awful.
Yeah, he's been pretty bad for most of the series. Pacers were 11-for-36 from the three-point line, 30.6%. That's not going to get it done. A really disappointing performance by the Pacers, but especially in the fourth quarter of game four, to I think blow the series. I still think OKC is going to win this thing in seven games.
Yeah, as we sat there on Friday night, I thought the same exact thing. I said, well, the Pacers just let the Larry O'Brien trophy slip through their fingertips with that blown lead. Had a 4-point lead with 3 minutes to go, unable to get it done. I thought Chet Holmgren was pretty solid again in game four, very aggressive at getting boards, ended up with 15 rebounds, which was a series high. I thought the first two games he was out of sorts. I thought game one he was absolutely dreadful. He only played 24 minutes. He's definitely played better these last two games, Matt. And I want to get your analysis on how Chet Holmgren was looking walking into the arena tonight. So let's take a look at Chet Holmgren's fit here. He's just all white, Matt, with some glasses on. Looks very studious heading into the arena.
White shoes, white pants, a white T-shirt. Here's my problem with this. I'm just not going to pick only on Chet Holmgren, who looks like an absolute bozo here. But you're, you're showing up for an NBA Finals game. Tim, this is the NBA Finals game. Show some professionalism. Be like Tim Murray. Look, we host this show every night. We wear sport coats. I wear it 90%+ of the time. You wear a sport coat 100%
of the time. 100% of the time, right? Baby.
And these guys, remember Michael Jordan in that era? Kobe Bryant? The guys would show up and they would wear suits and they would be true pros. These guys now are showing up. You think about Ben Simmons and Damian Lillard, the way some of these guys dress when they show up at the arena. It's
fashion,
embarrassment.
Baby. It's fashion.
It's not fashion. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. And Chet Holmgren showing up like this to an NBA Finals game tonight is a disgrace. And actually, I think the league probably needs to institute some sort of dress code if you can, because this is – I think it's embarrassing for the NBA to have guys showing up to an NBA Finals game dressed
like
this.
Does this lead you to bet under Chet Holmgren props tonight? We will.
It makes me not like Chet Holmgren. I can't stand to see things like this. But I will say that Holmgren came back and played much better in the previous game. He again, you never know what you're going to get from Chet Holmgren. But in game four on Friday night, he did get 14 points and 15 rebounds. And the thing he's got to do is rebound.
Hey, if you want to make smarter football bets this season, well, you can start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at an early bird rate for just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. Don't miss out on the early bird deal. Head on over to vsin.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. vsin.com/subscribe.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We got game five of the NBA Finals coming up in about an hour. Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder, 9.5 is the number for this one, as the Indiana Pacers are an underdog on the road at Oklahoma City. And as Rick Carlisle pointed out after game three, he knows they'll be an underdog every single game, and he's not inaccurate on that assessment. They will be an underdog unless Shai Gilgeous-Alexander gets hurt or something like that.
Not only an underdog, a pretty big dog. Mm-hmm. You're talking about anywhere from 5.5 to 11.5 points basically every game of this series. And I feel like OKC's been overrated from the betting market, in the betting market from the beginning. And obviously things are starting to tighten up a little bit now as you see 9.5 on tonight's game.
Quick update from the College World Series. We mentioned that UCLA played at 3 runs in the top of the first inning. Right now, the LSU Tigers have men on the corners with one out in the bottom of the first. So right now, as we look at the live betting market, as the LSU Tigers are going to get a run across here, it is now a pick 'em between UCLA and LSU. So LSU was plus money just a little while ago, and after that run, updated the market minus $1.66. So Matt, you could have jumped on it. You mentioned it. Could have got LSU at a plus price down 3-0, and right now it is minus 175 in favor of the LSU Tigers, who close as a $3 favorite. So once again, you could have got plus money before LSU swung at one pitch. And now they're back to a minus 175 favorite.
Tim, we talk about this all the time. That's where you're going to find your value in live betting, is when the favorite falls behind. Or, you know, if the underdog allows a big run and you think you're still pretty confident the dog can get back in the game, the price on the favorite gets inflated. Well, in this case, the favorite falls behind. LSU goes from minus 300 to plus money, and you still got nine innings to play. That's the key. You got a long way to go. That's why somebody made a point. Tried to make a point to me on Twitter recently. He said, yeah, you keep talking about these inflated numbers, but you're behind by 10 points now, or you're down by three runs. That's the point. You got a long way to go. There are big runs in these games. These games are volatile, especially the NBA games. A 10-point lead can disappear in 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that big a deal. You can't get freaked out that your team's down by 10. 2 minutes later, it could be a tie game, and we see this happen all the time. In college baseball, a team like LSU, one of the favorites going to Omaha, a three-run deficit's not that big a deal, especially when you have nine innings to play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So men on the corners right now for LSU, bottom of the first inning. What doesn't look great is the under. That is in a whole world of trouble right now, as this game is now tied up at three, Matt Eumanns, as we get a deep fly. Actually, it's 4-3. That's a homer. So it is now 4-3. So just like that, LSU, Matt, who was down 3-0, has reclaimed the lead in the bottom of the first inning, and now the live market is going to be wild here, as we will see what this is going to readjust to after a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning. UCLA led 3-0. Plus money was out there, and the Tigers have already taken the lead back. 4-3 in the bottom of the first. Seven runs have already been scored, and Matt, LSU is now a minus 620 favorite. How fast things can change.
Still the first inning, by the way. Bottom of the first inning. This, talk about volatility in live betting. This went from minus 300 to what, plus 150? What was it?
I don't know what the peak was. It was like, it was definitely plus money, plus 115. I don't know what the peak was, but now it is minus $620.
How are you feeling about that under?
Not awesome.
Jimmy gave you the under.
Way to go, Jimmy.
You want to want to buy back on that, Tim? You want to redo?
Yeah, I kind of want to redo. But he did give us a winner yesterday. So, you know, it all evens out. Well done.
Didn't get the winner yesterday. You didn't text me about that.
Well, you know, I tweeted about it. Put it out on the show. But what we do have tonight, Matt, we do, of course, have Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Let's hear from Rick Carlisle. You know, we mentioned the offense. What went wrong with the offense, thinking back to Game 4, Matt? 31-17. They were outscored in that fourth quarter. They had a 10-point lead late in the third quarter, led by four with 3 minutes to go, but the offense just could not get going, Matt. So here's some Rick Carlisle following the Game 4 loss and what went wrong with that Pacers offense.
Their second shots were a big problem. When you're unable to rebound, it's hard to continue to play with pace and tempo. I haven't looked at the end of the game yet, so I don't have the blow by blow for you. But give them credit. They kept attacking, and their defense was great down the stretch. An inability to come up with rebounds, an inability to get key stops was a part of it. And then, we just got too stagnant. You know, the ball was not being advanced quickly enough. We weren't creating problems. And we were up against the clock a lot, so things got very difficult. But you got to give Oklahoma credit. I mean, they made it very difficult.
They sure did, man.
Well, the rebounding was not that lopsided. Actually, OKC was plus 10 in rebounds, 12-7 in offensive rebounds. But they got a couple key rebounds there in the fourth quarter where they got second shot opportunities when the Pacers really needed to get a stop. I think the biggest point that he made there, the most important point, was that the Pacers got stagnant offensively. You could see it in the fourth quarter. Tim, you could see it while it was happening in the fourth. And then you've got Halliburton 1-for-7. Miles Turner 0 for 6. Siakam 2 for 6. You just had too many guys throwing up bricks from three-point range. And we've talked about the Pacers and how they can live and die by the three. They shot the three-pointer at, I think, 28.5% in the two home games. It's really surprising. You thought the Pacers shoot the three a lot better in their two home games than they did. They were 9 for 27 in the first game and 11 for 36 in the second home game. And for a team that was the number one three-point shooting team in the playoffs coming into the finals of 40%, you wouldn't expect you're going to shoot about 28% on your home floor in two games from three. But they did get stagnant on the offensive end and just didn't knock down shots. Had plenty of open shots and couldn't knock those down. A lot of times that's what it comes down to. You got to knock down the open looks.
How about Alex Caruso so far in this NBA Finals? He has been...
I think he's been great.
He's been phenomenal. He's had two 20-point games in these NBA Finals, Matt. He is the first player in NBA history to have two 20-point games in the NBA Finals following a regular season where he had zero 20-point games. He has stepped up. Mm-hmm. He's been a huge piece for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think they're pretty happy with the return of a Josh Giddey, Alex Caruso offseason
trade. I thought
trade.
It was a great trade at the time. I was not a big Josh Giddey fan. I've always been a Caruso fan. Caruso plays both ends of the floor. He's a two-way player, and those are the players I like the most. I hate the guys who play no D, all offense, no defense. I heard somebody on this network last week going off on a tangent about how Alex Caruso was getting too many minutes for the Thunder. I said, I don't know what series you're watching, man, but Alex Caruso's the glue to the Thunder, in my estimation. He's a guy, he makes a lot of winning plays. There are certain guys out there that aren't going to always light up the stat sheet, Tim, but they're going to make a bunch of plays to help you win games. T.J. McConnell for the Pacers is one of those guys.
Game three, he made massive moments, had massive moments.
Caruso comes back with 20 points, 5 steals, three rebounds. He shoots 7 for 9 from the field, and he hustles all over the place on the defensive end of the floor. So if you're criticizing OKC for playing Alex Caruso too much, you need to reevaluate what you're watching here, because I think he's the most valuable member off that Thunder bench. Valuable guys on that Thunder team.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I mean, there's no doubt. If you look at, I think Mitch has a pretty hefty ticket on Alex Caruso to win Finals MVP. That's not going to happen, but man, he has been very valuable.
It's hard to win Finals MVP when you have a teammate averaging 35 points a game.
Yeah,
it's not going to win MVP when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to put up those numbers every night. And again, the Pacers did a great job of throwing multiple defenders at SGA in Game 3. I thought SGA did a great job of, I would say, adjusting to that, especially in the fourth quarter. He scored a bunch of points at the end of 15. The game. It was a quiet 35. Again, Tim, I can't remember too many scorers in NBA history who can score 35 points as quietly as SGA can.
Yeah, and one of the great things that I thought Mark Daigneault did was take him off the ball, because we were watching Game 3 on primetime, and you and I looked at it and said, man, he looks exhausted out there. They took him off the ball to give him a little extra rest, and lo and behold, he had plenty in the gas tank to go for 15 of his 35 in the fourth quarter on Friday night. We're less than an hour away from tip-off between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers, Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Over at VSiN.com, our betting splits, Matt, 71% of bets at DraftKings on the Pacers catching the points, 51% of the money, 72% of the bets, and 57% of the handle on the over for tonight's game. We'll get a update from behind the counter. Jeff Sherman going to join us at the top of the hour. But hey, folks, just a reminder, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. The promo code is PRIME. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. Once again, that's edgeboost.bet. Nick Whalen, we'll talk some props for Game 5. We'll do that next right here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network. We'll
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Prime Time, as we're less than an hour away from tip-off between Oklahoma City and the Indiana Pacers, Game 5 of the NBA Finals, a game we're keeping an eye on in Omaha. The winner's bracket of Bracket 2, LSU and UCLA, 7 runs in the first inning, and right now LSU up 4-3 and a minus 580 favorite over the UCLA Bruins. Top of the second inning there in Omaha at Charles Schwab Field. We had a no-hitter earlier today and 3 total runs. We have 7 runs in the first inning. So a little bit of a different feel in the 2 games so far today. Total now at 14.5 as we head to the bottom of the second inning. All right, let's talk some more NBA Finals, and let's welcome on Nick Whalen, who you hear weekdays here on the network as part of Prop Points. You can also read him over at RotoWire. You know, we were just talking Alex Caruso, and I did see a play of yours thrown into the picks page. So he has been phenomenal so far this postseason. He had 20 points in the Game 4 victory. So from a prop standpoint tonight, Nick, how are you looking to attack Alex Caruso against the Indiana Pacers?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, guys. I was watching you in the previous segment. I don't know who at VSiN was saying that Alex Caruso needs to be playing less in this series. I vehemently disagree with that. I think Mark Daigneault disagrees with that. And part of the reason that I'm looking at Alex Caruso over 3.5 boards tonight, and don't mind Caruso over 1.5 threes as well, is that the fact that his playing time continues to trend up. You know, I think OKC, despite going back to the double big lineup in Game 4, starting Hartenstein alongside Chet Holmgren, it's just not working. It's not working. And, you know, I thought we'd get more out of Hartenstein throughout this series. He's just looked a little bit uncomfortable. I saw it as a scorer specifically, just not really looking to put the ball in the basket. He's looking to unload it as soon as he gets it. And yeah, I don't really think they got the results necessarily that they thought they would from that change in Game 4. And, you know, you look at NBA.com/stats, you look into some of the lineup data for OKC, and, you know, 5 of their 7 favorite lineups, the lineups that have played the most minutes in these playoffs, involve Alex Caruso, whether he's playing as kind of a true big, whether he's playing as a guard. I think they've realized that they need him in this series. So obviously you don't think of Caruso as somebody who's going to go out and grab 7 or 8 rebounds. This is more of a volume play. I think the minutes could extend, you know, 32 to 34, maybe even more if this is a close game into the fourth quarter. And I liked what we saw from OKC to close Game 4 defensively. My hope is that that continues, force a lot of missed shots for this Indiana Pacers team. I think we see a lot of available rebounds tonight. And one last thing on him. I mean, I think part of the reason too that Caruso keeps playing so much in this series, the Thunder just aren't getting much out of Kayson Wallace. And I do wonder if we maybe start to see even a shorter leash on him as this series goes on.
You're right. Kayson Wallace had 2 points in 19 minutes in the previous game. Good take there, Nick, on Alex Caruso. How about SGA? What do you do with him? He scored 30 or more points in 14 games in the playoffs. You got a points prop of 33.5. I know he had 35 in the previous game, but he got a bunch of those points late. How do you handle a guy like this who can routinely put up 30 points, because it's really tough to bet over those type of prop numbers?
It is. And, you know, I'm looking at the DK Sportsbook right now. That number's up to 34.5 for SGA. And look, I don't really have a strong read one way or the other. And it's so difficult with him because, and he did this throughout the regular season too, it's like he scores somewhere between like 28 and 37 points, it feels like, every single night. You know, it's not really feast or famine. He never really has like a 14 point night. He doesn't have these big explosive scoring nights. It's always a prop that feels like comes down to the last 2 or 3 minutes, especially in the postseason. So I've been staying away from the points when it comes to SGA. Certainly you expect maybe more of a consistent 4-quarter effort from him. You know, if you took the under in Game 4, you felt great about it until he scored 15 of their final 16 points in the last 4.5 minutes. I'm looking at the steals for SGA. I know we don't talk a whole lot of defensive props necessarily, but I think we're getting a fair price here on the over 1.5 at minus 120. SGA has 10 steals in this series. He's gone over this number easily in 3 of 4 games so far. You know, we think of Dort, we think of Caruso, we think of Wallace, even Jalen Williams as the guys doing the dirty work defensively. But SGA is the guy that's actually been ending up with the steals. You know, he's been excellent bringing double teams, digging balls out when guys are kind of in a bad spot in the lane. So I think he could continue that tonight. I'm looking at the over 1.5.
Yeah, he had 3 of the team's 12 steals in Game 4 on Friday night. All right, Nick, let's keep it with the Thunder here just for a minute. Any props you like on Chet Holmgren or any other OKC players?
Yeah, I was thinking about the rebounding for Chet. The number's now up to 9.5. Certainly like that more at 8.5. And, you know, there's kind of a weird thing going on with Chet where he's playing more minutes throughout this series. And to me, it doesn't really feel like he's playing all that well, which maybe more so right. speaks to the disappointing series this has been for Isaiah Hartenstein. So I don't really know what to expect from Chet Holmgren. I'm more looking at Jalen Williams. And look, we're getting the over 5.5 assists for Jalen Williams at plus money. He's only hit this once in the finals. Had 6 assists in game 1. He did have 5 in game 2. He was on the ball a lot more to close out game 4. You know, we'll see if OKC goes back to that. I think they probably will, because I think Indiana felt like it found something, you know, limiting SGA through the first 3 quarters. So I do think we see Jalen Williams with more assist opportunities. He had 12 potential assists in game 4. Obviously, OKC shot it so poorly that he wasn't able to cash in on too many of those. But it's tough in general right now to approach the OKC assist market, guys. I mean, OKC is averaging 16 assists per game in this series. They only had 11 assists in game 4. I mean, this is a team that was averaging 25 assists per game over the first 3 rounds. So I think they can exhale a little bit. You know, the pressure, it's still on them, but it's not nearly what it was in game 4. I think they can kind of get back to business here. And getting Jalen Williams over 5.5 assists at plus 120, that's something I'm interested in.
Nick Whalen's joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. You can catch Prop Points every weekday here on the network, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Nick, one of the hosts on that program. And Nick, as we look over to the other side, to the Indiana Pacers side, Benedict Mathurin was phenomenal in game 3 at 27 points, just an incredible game. He did go under his point prop, maybe a bit fortunate, as he's what, a 90% free throw shooter, somewhere around that. And he missed 3 of those 4 free throws at the close. His point prop looking at 8.5 right now, slightly juiced under. Anything you're looking at with Benedict Mathurin tonight from a prop standpoint?
Yeah, it's over 8.5 or nothing for me on Ben Mathurin. And you know, I loved what we've seen from Mathurin so far in the series. I think he has been in like a 2-year doghouse with Rick Carlisle, where it doesn't seem to, you know, to matter how well he's playing. You know, he goes for 27. You know, I thought in a lot of ways was the most valuable piece for them in that big win in game 3. And then he comes out and plays 14 minutes in game 4. You know, so it's difficult to trust game to game. But the one thing you could say about Ben Mathurin, and you can't necessarily say this about anyone else on the Indiana Pacers, maybe Pascal Siakam, is that when he's out there, he's going to fire away, right? There's no hesitation. There's no, they're defending him in a way that he just can't get shots off. Like he's got the J.R. Smith DNA, guys. He is going to get shots up when he is out there. So I'm surprised that this number is not ticked up a little bit higher, you know, just kind of given the narrative, given how these last 3 games have gone. So I think we're actually getting a pretty good price here at 8.5. And the other thing with Mathurin, I know he missed 3 big free throws at the end of game 4, but he's getting to the line extremely consistently in this series. I mean, for a guy who's not playing that many minutes, 4, 7, 8, and 8 free throw attempts through these 4 games. So that gives him a pretty nice floor when we're talking about such a low points prop.
8 free throw attempts in 14 minutes Friday night. He was the hero in game 3 and the goat in game 4. He missed those 3 free throws and had a couple of dumb fouls at the end. Yep. But Mathurin's been a great player off the bench for the Pacers for the most part. How about Tyrese Haliburton? Tim and I talked about this. Feels like he has a big game, then he's quiet. Big game, then he's quiet. He was 1 for 7 from 3 on Friday. He had 5 turnovers. How do you handle the points, rebounds, assist props with Haliburton? Mm-hmm.
It's a really tough one. You know, he has been all over the place in this series. And like you said, it does feel like he kind of tends to alternate, you know, being aggressive and then disappearing. I mean, even the assists, you know, were really down to begin this series, 6 in each of the first 2 games, then pops for 11 in game 3, back down to 7 in game 4. The rebounding has been even wilder. He has a 9 and a 10 rebound game. He has a 2 and a 3 mm-hmm. rebound game. I would look at the points first for Tyrese Haliburton. Still a pretty low number to me at 17.5. You know, it is tough to envision the Pacers finding a way to keep this game close or winning it on the road tonight without Tyrese Haliburton, you know, scoring at least 15, 16, 17, being at least in that range. And I think the 3 ball is going to be a key, because we saw the way that OKC defended him after they made that adjustment late in game 4. They're starting to play drop coverage. They're daring him to go at Chet Holmgren. Chet has one of the longest wingspans in the NBA, and I think that succeeded. So, you know, Tyrese Haliburton does not have the J.R. Smith DNA. You know, he's not somebody like Anthony Edwards who the Thunder saw in the West Finals, where no matter how you're defending him, he's just going to get shots up. He tends to make the right play. But I would look at the over 2.5 threes. I would look at the over 17.5 points tonight if you think the Indiana Pacers can win this game or keep it close.
He's Nick Whalen. Follow him on Twitter at Whalen, but replace the L with the number 1, WHA, number 1, EN. And check out Prop Points weekdays here on the network from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Nick, always appreciate the insight, man. Best of luck with your bets tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Nick Whalen, joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Two innings in the books, Matt. No runs in the second inning. Is my 9.5 still alive?
No, it's not.
Mitch Moss also on the under. We don't feel great where we sit right now with that one. Turn the page. How about we go behind the counter? Jeff Sherman will give us the latest on what they're seeing for Game 5 of the NBA Finals. We'll do that next.